God. I guess it would be an honor if you were called to the White House in order to do a special. Maybe not this particular White House, but isn't it much greater to be called before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in order to sing? Amen. Glory to God. Amen. To me, Wednesdays are very special. I believe there are people who love the Word of God, amen, love Bible studies, can never get enough teaching, amen, and it seems like there's always an openness to the Word of God. It's another meal during the week, and we're inundated with so much around us every day that we need as much exposure to the Word of God and to the presence of God as we could possibly get. Amen. Amen. So would you stand with me? Good to see Sister White and her grandchildren here. Amen. If you would turn to John the 8th chapter, familiar scripture, verse 31. John 8, 31. It says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him." He wasn't talking to people who didn't believe on him. He said, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. So, conversely, if you're not continuing in his word, then you're not his disciples. And then we quote this scripture all the time, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So if you continue in the word, then you're going to find that you shall know the truth, amen, and the truth shall make you free. But if you don't continue in the word, you're not his disciples. And then John 18 and verse number 35, it's at his trial. Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, "I find in him no fault at all." What is truth? You know, those that have truth will hear God. Those without truth, listen, they're just not hearing God because they're not of truth. And then one last scripture, Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23 and 23, it says, "By the truth, sell it not, also wisdom and instructions and understanding." So we're buying truth, wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Lord, we ask your blessing and anointing upon your word. Lord, that it would stay with us, amen, that it would affect every part of our life, God, that it would cause us to change and stand for those things that are so close to you. We ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Have you ever felt like the whole world is in a trance? you know. They're walking around, but they're not seeing, they're not hearing, they're not understanding, they don't see the real value of life at all. And we are the only ones that are awake to what is really going on in the world, and it seems like God has just allowed us to see and experience things that the rest of the world has not. What is it? Is it the water? Do they have access to Kool-Aid that we aren't drinking? Or maybe their Kool-Aid doesn't affect us. Mark 16 and 18 tells us, "And if we drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt us." The word drink means to absorb in the mind. So we're exposed to a lot of the same thing everybody else in the world who is walking around in a trance is exposed to, but we're not absorbing it because Jesus said, if you drink any deadly thing, it's not gonna affect me. I'm not afraid of what's going on in the Middle East. I'm not afraid of the terrorists. If it ever gets to that point where it really comes down to it, we're going to be gone. God's not going to allow the church to be, I don't care what rules they make or laws they pass. It's not going to come against the church. We perceive differently the things that are going on around us in comparison to the rest of the world. The concepts of this world and its values don't have the same effect on us because we have a built-in truth detector, God's spirit within us that says, no, that's wrong, this is right. And it's easier for us to navigate the world and all of the things and the rhetoric that's going on. And an alarm that automatically goes off when there are false realities in our life. And that is what the devil is all about, promoting lies to take the place of truth, compromise that says, well, God didn't really say what he really said, promoting those lies, because it is only truth that will set us free. Consequently, a lie will keep us captive. Amen. You know? And we're not going to experience all of what God has for us. We aren't even the disciples of God, according to John, the 8th chapter, unless we experience truth, and we want to continue in that truth. So what the enemy wants us to do is separate us from truth, separate us from values and principles that God has laid out. When I was a kid, there was this program called Truth or Consequences. And if the contestant didn't tell the truth, well, they got a pie in the face or some, you know. Would it be wrong for me to carry a pie around? You know, I'm sorry, that's not true. You know, we're afraid to even say to people, that's not true. Because we don't want to create or stir up a situation, but God has put us here to stir up some situations because the truth will set us free. The truth will set somebody else free, and we see them captive, but we don't want to enter into the skirmish. I'm way beyond that. I don't care anymore. They need to hear truth. When I see a backslider, I tell them. Because you have been recaptured, you see, and you need to be released by truth. And don't let anybody replace truth with some kind of worldly concept or some kind of a religious concept, because it will not allow you to be free. It's not a game when it comes to salvation. Only the whole truth and nothing but the truth will save you. You see, so you can't have a portion of truth. Well, we believe this, but we don't believe what you believe in this area. Well, then, are you half saved? Which part is going to go to heaven? You know? We're not saved just because we have repented. We're not saved because we've got the Holy Ghost. We're not even saved because we've obeyed Acts 2 and 38 if we do not endure to the end, if we somehow sell out some of what we have already been given. It's the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me, God, to keep the truth. Amen. The problem is that there is no reality check. You know, today people just say whatever they want, and just because they said it, that means that it's true. But there has to be somebody who checks the reality of what truth really is. I've said this over the years. There is in Washington, D.C., a Bureau of Standards. And in the Bureau of Standards, they have the perfect ounce and the perfect inch and the perfect yard and the perfect measurement and weights of every measurement that is used. And if you ever have a question as to what a real inch looks like, you could go to the Bureau of Standards, and there it is. We have a Bureau of Standards. And when somebody says, well, I think, okay, let's go to the Bureau of Standards and see what it says in the book. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. People just believe what they're told today. Right. Well, you know, and I know we differ, but you believe this way, and let's just all sing kumbaya and go to heaven together. It's not what God says. Just put this cream on your face and the wrinkles will just vanish away. The only thing that'll vanish is your money, folks. Man, there is a product that can grow hair on a cue ball. Really, where do I get that? Amen. How can people fall for such, well, let's just say lies? Because they want to believe. They want to believe. That's where lies are perpetrated, because it goes to what we want. And I'd rather just say, oh yeah, I like that because that's what I want. Virtual reality or false truth, and there is always someone who will sell you false truth or exchange your truth for their half-truth. I don't want to deal in half-truths. The whole truth. Free health care. You can keep your doctor. Because an authority told you that. Free salvation, because an authority said it. False concepts enter into our minds every day because people want to believe it. It is a trap. It really is. If your mother told you from the time you could reason that blue was really yellow, you get to the place where you believe that blue was really yellow because that's all you heard. And many of us grew up with false concepts because they were handed down and given to us, and it then becomes a reality because I've heard it for so many years. But you see, if we hear the same word of God over and over and over from the time we're born again, it becomes more and more of a reality, and we defend the truth. Hallelujah. Amen. False reality becomes truth to many people. Real truth has to be told over and over again, consistently. We have to teach Acts 2 and 38. We have to teach on holiness. We have to teach on dress. We have to teach on hair. We have to teach on separation. We have to teach on these things over and over again. And for me as a pastor, just to eliminate some things because I'm afraid it's going to somehow not blend with what your reality is, would be a major mistake, because then your reality is changed to something less than what it really should be. Should be. Amen. Let's turn to Isaiah 59. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse number 13. It says, in transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. we can get to the place where there's so much false concepts and so many things that are said as a reality that eventually truth falls in the street, or there's very little truth around because no one will support it. Nobody will stand up for truth any longer. Nehemiah, if you would, the eighth chapter. Nehemiah 8 and verse number 1. And all of the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. Bring the Bible. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding. That meant kids were there as well. Upon the first day of the seventh month, and he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all of the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And then it goes into the pulpit, and here's the first mention of the pulpit, and it was a podium, and a podium comes from podiatry, is that the word I guess I'm trying to say, the foot. And so it's like sitting at the foot, if you will, and that's what we have today. So we find that God's idea was to read the word, read the word, read the word, and everybody was attentive, everybody, the men and the women and the children. Jesus said in John 18 and 37 that he came to bear witness unto truth. Everyone that is of truth heareth my voice. Are we a witness of truth, and do we recognize truth when we hear it? And that's why we have the Holy Ghost, is partly to give us a better understanding of what truth really is. I've lived in the same house now for 43 years. I've had a lot of sweat equity in the place, and I guess if I didn't enjoy it, I probably wouldn't do it, but there are a lot of things and improvements that I've made over the years in the house. I've lived in the same body for 69 years. God has made a lot of improvements, a lot of trials, a lot of tests, a lot of changes, and perhaps you've gone through a lot of changes as well. A lot of investments into the kingdom of God, and yet every day I get an offer to sell out, every day. But I have read God's appraisal of the worth of one soul more valuable than the entire world. If you have an understanding of how important it is for you to hold on to truth, then you'll respect it more. So I have decided to stay with the truth, and I will not even entertain the idea of selling out to the flesh or to the world or sin for a season. Sunday, I talked to somebody who goes to another church, and they said, you know, it's really not as bad as you think. And that saying for the last 3 days have just echoed in my mind. It's really not as bad as you think. The very fact that you know that there is compromise and you accept it, well, there is a delusion there when you compromise to the point where we've allowed some things to come into our life, but because of where I'm at or because of life, I've allowed it to happen. It's a dangerous place to be. Would you turn to 2 Thessalonians? 2 and verse number 7. It says, for the mystery, and the word mystery means to shut the mouth, For to shut the mouth of iniquity doth already work. In other words, people are not standing up for truth. What they're saying is, oh, I know, that's not good, but I'm not going to say anything about that. You see, that's what God's saying. It's already working, and that was 2,000 years. Only he who now letteth will let until he really should be they be taken out of the way. In other words, he's saying that, you know, the Antichrist will not come onto the scene until the church is gone. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And when you put pleasure before truth, then God himself will send you a strong delusion in order to believe a lie, or that's okay. I listened to Franklin D. Roosevelt yesterday. It was a speech that was given 74 years ago, the day after Pearl Harbor was bombed. And what he declared was, we declare war because we have been a church. We are under attack, whether you understand it or not. And we cannot be namby-pamby. Well, let's see if we can negotiate through this whole thing. No, we are under attack and truth is at stake. And what the president said 74 years ago is, our righteousness will prevail from the White House. And we will be victorious because of our righteous might. It was so refreshing what has happened 74 years ago when we'll stand up for righteousness, people who perhaps didn't even have truth, but they're standing for righteousness in a country that was founded on God's righteousness. And today, us Pentecostals who have more than just about everybody in the entire world, we too have to stand up for righteousness and truth and don't let it fall in the street. Hallelujah. I'm getting to the point where I'm livid because I see so many people letting go of so many things that are so valuable. We're living in a day when almost every denomination tells you that salvation is free. Buy the truth and sell it. Now, well, how can you buy if everything is free? You see? Accept the Lord, come as you are. There's no change. Do nothing, pay nothing, be nothing. Well, I'm sorry, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible tells us, buy the truth and sell it not. The word buy here means to purchase by selling something you already own. So, Jesus said that we're going to have to sell something that we have in order to buy something. And we're wondering, well, why do I have to give up this or why would I have to give up that? Well, do you want to buy something? Would you turn to Matthew 13? Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 44. Says, Jesus says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth the field. So he had to sell everything he had in order to get the joy and buy this treasure. What do you require of me, God? Everything. Everything. It's not like God wants to pull everything, all of the pleasures, all of the niceties in life, but you know what? Nothing can come before him. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchantman seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. How valuable is this? You see, real truth will always cost something. The purchase can only come from the sale of something that you have. Jesus said in Matthew 16 and 26, "For what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" And the word exchange means a ransom for his soul. We make the purchase of truth through the sale of those things that seem most valuable to us. And as we come into the church, God's saying, okay, sell this, sell this, sell this, sell this. Old lifestyles, entertainment, perhaps a job, maybe friends, even relatives. This is familiar scripture. Let's go to Matthew 10, verse 34. Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and the man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." So we find that there are going to be certain challenges within our life in order to demonstrate truth is more important than anything else. The word truth in Proverbs 23 and 23 in the Hebrew means a certainty or stability as a parent or a nurse that takes care of oneself. In other words, when you have truth, truth takes care of you like a parent or a nurse. So what God is saying is, if you have truth, don't worry about being taken care of. Don't worry about the bills. Don't worry about your health, because truth will take care of you. But if truth has fallen in the street, real truth doesn't give you an option to go back. There is no buyer's remorse with real truth. "Well, I was baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, and now I realize, oh, this is going to cost me something, so I guess I won't go through with it." There's no buyer's remorse with God. There was no remorse with him in going to Calvary for us. It was for the joy that was set before him. And for the joy that is set before us, we should be able to give our lives up for what he has done for us. No money back guarantees in 30 days if you're not completely satisfied. Too many Christians want to lease God with an option to buy. You know, let's see if this works. I'll try it for 30 days. If it doesn't work, I can always, you know. Or if they are attracted to something else, they'll exchange God for some pleasure in their life. There's too many times, folks, too many people who sat next to you that got to that place and said, "Well, it's just not worth it. Well, I should be able to find some place that, well, it doesn't deal in full truth, but at least a little bit of truth, and I feel comfortable there." You know, the Bible says, buy it, don't sell it. Real truth is the only certainty, the only real certainty in this world. We don't sell our parents or our caregivers, and that's what truth is supposed to be, you know, a caregiver. So we don't say, "Well, you know, it was good for a while, but now it's not important any longer. We don't go back to Egypt because the price is right. And after Jesus said some hard things to his followers in John 6:66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Where do you go from full truth? You know, glory to God. I'm happy with what I got. I'm happy with the results. Some lady gave me a Christmas card yesterday who came back because it was gone for years. And she simply said, "I can't tell you how many churches I've tried, but it just isn't the same, you know?" And why? Well, because we deal in full truth and nothing but the truth. And that's why God helps us, you know? Amen. Buy it, keep it, preserve it, amen. Don't sell it, right. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Thank you, Jesus. I guess what I'm saying is someone has to stand up for it. And it's easy to stand up for truth in a Pentecostal service, but it's a little harder to stand up for truth out in the street, because what it does is it says we're different than the rest of the world, and we don't want to be different than the rest of the world. But truth declares that we are, and truth also declares that we're free. And so I'm not looking to blend in or even get the approval of the rest of the world, but I am wanting the approval of God, the one who can heal me, the one who can protect me, the one who can provide for me, the one who can give me longer life. It says truth is our caregiver that watches over us. And once I sell that, well, where do I go? Jesus said, if you'll continue, then you'll be my disciples, and then the truth will set you free. Amen. We don't quote that much, continue. We got truth, and we think we have all of the freedom in the world, but no, we need to stay in it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that you no longer believe this, but I'm telling you that I do, because God hasn't changed his mind. Hallelujah. Saved almost 40 years ago, same truth, still the same evidence. Believe it. I'm not going to give it up. Amen. I don't care what slick individual says, it's no longer relevant. It is relevant. And God would never ask us to do anything that he doesn't equip us to take on, you know? Amen. I'm so grateful for this truth. I'm so grateful for this church and people who want to stand together arm in arm and will not compromise whatsoever. That's what makes it so great. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?